Hi there, listener. I'm Ian Willoughby, and this, most excitingly, is the first ever edition of Prague Talk, Radio Prague International's brand new podcast series. Basically, we do so many interviews here at the station that we had the idea of putting the best of them all in one place for your listening pleasure. My guest in episode one of Prague Talk is somebody that I've known for at least a decade, the very capable Czech journalist Jana Cíglarová. Not long before Christmas, Jana brought out a book, which I believe is her first, called Americký deník, or American Diary, and it brings together columns that she wrote for the newspaper Deník N during a long stay in the US, Florida to be precise, from late 2016 until last summer. I wanted to speak to Jana because I thought she'd have lots of fascinating insights into the differences between Czechs and Americans, and indeed that did turn out to be the case. So let's listen now to my conversation with Jana Cíglarová on this maiden edition of the Prague Talk podcast. This is a big question to begin with, but for you, what were some of the most enjoyable aspects of living in the US?
So the number one thing is the weather. I miss the weather so much. The weather changes everything that you do. You know how you feel so much happier and everything seems so much easier when you wake up and it's nice weather outside, it's sunny.
And you were in Florida, right?
And I was in Florida, so it's sunny all the time. You know, we call this azuro, which is like a certain kind of blue that is always, you know, in these exotic locations. And so everything seems easier, you're more optimistic, you're of course in shorts and sandals pretty much all the year, and the only time when the weather gets a little worse is during the hurricane season, which is like a few days.
But isn't it also brutally humid in Florida?
Yeah, but you know what, it's brutally cold here and it's gray here, and you know the humidity, it's actually, it works miracles for complexion. So you always get that little moisturizer there. So I actually appreciate it a lot.
And what were the hardest things to get used to about living in the States?
The food, because I have three small kids. They would all go to school there. And here in the Czech Republic, I really started to appreciate it way more. We know that what we give to the children at school is what we should give them, so they get the healthy stuff at school. So you can actually, you know, like not be as healthy, or you can have a pizza here or there because you know that they're getting the warm meal and healthy stuff. Is the total opposite at their cafeteria, school cafeterias. It's everything is processed. Everything's got a huge amounts of sugar. The kids' lunches, the kids' breakfast, you get free breakfast at U.S. public schools, most of them or some of them. They're packed with sugar. My son, the oldest son, did a project on sugar, and he found out that you should have only 25 grams of added sugar a day if you're a nine-year-old, which he was back then. And just the breakfast, governmentally approved breakfast at school cafeterias has 75 grams of added sugar. So imagine that's why the kids are obese, the kids are hyper there because you get all the sugar energy. So that's, I didn't like that at all.
You mentioned being there with your three kids, three boys. How did you find the US approach to parenting differed from the Czech approach?
It was shocking to me, I have to say. They don't let their children experience anything closely, remotely exuding any kind of danger, right? The best comparison I found when my oldest son would, the school there ends by the end of May, but in Czech, it ends by the end of June. So my son, the oldest one, would go always as soon as the US school ended, he would go back to Prague and he would finish his grade here. And they had school trips, right? And the US school trip from his class was, they got on an air-conditioned bus. They went for 5 hours on a highway. They drove to St. Augustine, which is a town in Florida that is proud of having one of the oldest building in the US, 100 years old. And then they stayed at a four-star hotel and overnight, and then they went back the next day. And it all cost $370. The school trip in their Czech school was, they took tents, They went hiking in the woods. They would climb up rocks. They would even have a dip in a lake or in a river in their underwear, unheard of in the US. They would let them explore. They would let them be adventurers, maybe get even a little hurt too from time to time, because that's what happens when you take risks. And kids in the US, they don't have that experience. So they're much slower in some development, yet they're faster in other development.
What about teaching in the States in comparison to here in the Czech Republic? I have the impression that Czech education is more based on kind of tough love. The kids have to work hard. Everything is about getting the jedničky.
Yeah, the marks, right? So the Americans have much better, like, way treating kids, maybe even too much, but they encourage them so much. They praise them so much, you know. My boys weren't very used to being praised because that's not the Czech culture. That's not what they get at school. And there, they just blossomed because they were so appreciative for everything they did. So they wanted to do more. And they also work hard because they're used to work hard from the Czech Republic. So I was thinking to myself, you know, the Czech kids are way, work much harder. So if we just could praise them a little more, they would just be so much more self-confident.
But isn't there a danger in the American approach where if you praise very average performance, you're giving the kids the false impression that they're doing well?
Absolutely, that is. And I saw it there so many times. You know, there were kids who were like at sports classes. Some of the kids would just go and run, you know, and try hard, and other kids would just be lazy, and everybody gets praised the same, right? So that's not fair. Yeah, you're right, totally.
Sadly, one fact of life in the US, of course, is shooting incidents, including at schools. Was that a danger that concerned you?
Absolutely. Every day you think about it, not only because it happens in the news and you see it all the time, but also where we lived. It was 20 minutes from the Parkland, Stoneman Douglas School, and I reported on it. So I was there, I was on the scene. And it's very, very present. And not only that, but also the kids have, after the shooting in Parkland, Florida schools, public schools, they introduced a law under which you have to organize school drills every month for the kids. So, and you know, kids don't know that it's a drill. So my boys will come back from school and tell me that, you know, like, we practice, but in the first moment, you don't really know. That's the point. So all three of my boys, they know how to hide when there's an active shooter in school. They know where they have to hide. They know how to crawl so that they pretend they're dead. They know how to run away from the school, that they have to have their arms up, or that they have to hold the shoulders of the person in front of them, that there's always a school desk that they should like turn upside down so that it's like a protective shield. And it was heartbreaking to watch them telling me that.
In the acknowledgements in the book, you mentioned a couple of American friends of yours, and I wanted to ask about the very concept of friendship. And are there differences between the Czech and US approach to being a friend?
Oh my goodness, so many. And I failed so many times, you know, like, so Czechs are not very open. We are more reserved. We take time, you know. Americans are not like that. So it would be confusing sometimes for me. I would mistaken some interpersonal reactions. I would mistake it for like a real suggestion of friendship, you know, like, we have to do a barbecue, we have to do that, we have to do that. And for me, that would be like, if I offer this to someone, I mean it, you know, like, but there it's not as much meant.
A lot of Europeans, I think, kind of laugh at Americans because of their fake friendliness, but I think it has a certain value. If you go to a shop and the person is like, have a nice day and so on, and they greet you, which at first I found hilarious that somebody was employed just to say, you know, how are you doing or whatever. Yeah. But I also think it has some value that it's much nicer and simply better than just the grumpy person who, you know, is doing you a favor by serving you in a shop.
Absolutely agree. And so they ask you, how are you? Okay, the simplest question. And the Czech people say, oh, I'm terrible. Oh my goodness, it's so bad. It's so, my back hurts. And you know, my family, you know, worse. It's everything's terrible. You know, could be better is the most optimistic reply you get. And then the Americans, they say, oh, I'm fantastic. I couldn't be be better. You know, everything's great. Yeah, I'm really enjoying my life. None of it is true, right? Not even the Czech side is not true. The American side is not true. It's not true that they're having fantastic life. And it's not true that we only have a bad life. But the way, it's an approach, and it's the way you see it. And there's always, you know, the glass is always either half full, half empty. And Czechs rather see it half empty. Americans see it half full.
You're working as a journalist, of course, in the U.S. What were the stories or the issues that you covered that you found got the biggest response here in the Czech Republic, either from editors or from readers?
So I'm a journalist, right? I started in the news, so news would always be my heart. The type of work that a foreign correspondent does is always like the political news. You have to watch, you know, follow the media, and then the like the local news, you know, the things that you can do in the terrain, like reportage. You know, Martina Navratilova, the tennis player, lives nearby, so I would go there. And these things, this type of things where you do and actually do the work yourself. And then I would have this column, right, like a Saturday column about the most simplest thing, how a mother of three boys puts up with the you know, living in predominantly Hispanic community in the U.S. And I was hoping my political analysis would be the number one thing that the readers would go to, or maybe the reportages. But no, it was the Saturday column that the readers found the most compelling and liked it as much. And, you know, that's why my publisher eventually suggested that we should make it into a book, because people really liked it. I was pleasantly surprised.
And how was Martina Navratilova?
So she's great. She's very Czech. She, you know, even though she's American, she's still very Czech. So she keeps her distance. We had spent some time together before, but interviewing her in her own environment was, she was the most open in my interview I've ever experienced her. And you know what was really, I was surprised that there were the congressional elections, the midterms, in November 2018, and Martina was actually like in the streets, driving people to the voting places, helping people to register for voting, or maybe then at the voting offices, she would help them, you know, read the, because it's way more complicated than in Czech Republic. So she was actually hands-on, a helper and very
she's
active.
She's a big Democrat supporter.
She hates Donald Trump, like number one, like, yeah.
Was the election of Trump a kind of godsend for you in terms of you had a big story to cover? Because every day he says something, he's always making news.
So we originally went there for a vacation, and it was December 2016. We went there for 3 months, and I wasn't expecting to work there, you know, much, if at all. But it was in January, the next thing you know, the inauguration happened and Donald Trump was inaugurated. And it was already obvious that the Trump administration would be very dramatic, no matter what side of the political spectrum you look at it. So when we got back from the vacation, I actually suggested to my editors back then at Mladá Fronta Dnes that I would like to work there as a correspondent. Would you support me in that? And they said, if it doesn't cost us anything more, yeah.
We've all seen images of journalists being intimidated at Trump's rallies, with the press being booed and so on. Is that something that you experienced, and did you feel a sense of threat?
Absolutely. And I went to Orlando, where Donald Trump announced officially that he's running for the second term. And I never experienced that. You're a journalist, you're a reporter on the scene. So I interviewed people, I talked to people. It was before the official part started. And then when the official part started, Eric Trump came on the stage and Don Jr. came on the stage. And they started to be very negative about media, about journalists. They would point fingers at us. And all of a sudden, the people, the Trump supporters, started booing at us. And the same people I had interviewed just a few minutes before came to me, and then they were like mad at me, like, who are you? Who do you write for? What are you going to write about me now? And you know, like they let me photograph them. They told me their stories, and all of a sudden I was their enemy because Trump told them so. And such a hostility I never felt before as a journalist. It was sad.
Now, of course, you're living back here in the Czech Republic. What have been the hardest aspects to readjusting to life here?
So one of them was the weather, of course, because it's so much harder for me and I think everybody else to feel optimistic and positive and full of energy and energized under this kind of weather. And the other thing is the general negativity among Czechs. I don't know what's wrong with us, but we just assume, I think it's something from the communism times, we assume the other to be an enemy, and we're suspective of you, of the other people, of other people, and the first reaction is negative, whereas the Americans are the other way around. And when you live there, when you experience this, you don't understand why people are negative for no reason to you. And the third thing is sexism, is everyday sexism. The level of respect that women have in general in the US, when I don't count the president's actions, is so very different from here. And you get, women get everyday insults here, like they're dismissed, they're disrespected. We came back in the summer, so, you know, I get so many stares. And, you know, I'm not like a pop icon walking around. I'm a middle-aged woman, you know, like I'm... And nevertheless, you know, man stares and cat calling. And it's so present that, again, when you get unused to it, you're shocked at the level that you experience here.
Did your boys find it hard to get used to living here again?
Okay, so I have three, and there's a bit difference. The eldest one loves it here. He's very Czech. He loves Svíčková. He loves everything Czech. He loves Koledy, you know, the Christmas carols. If he could stay here and live here forever, he would be the happiest person. His best friend is Czech Tonda, you know, so he's got very strong ties to the Czech Republic. So he couldn't wait to be back. But the youngest one, it was interesting. The youngest one is 5. We got there when he was 2. So his whole mental life is there. Emotional friends, everybody is there. He speaks both English and Spanish because that's what you learn when you're a kid there. So he basically cannot wait for us to go back, which we are going back, actually. Hopefully.
Jana Cieglerová, who I'm sure you'll agree was fascinating on the differences between Czechs and Americans, and obviously a lot more besides. Hope you've enjoyed this, the first edition of Prague Talk. Let us know what you think about it at praguetalkpod@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, that's @PragueTalk, and don't neglect to sign up for Prague Talk wherever you get your podcasts. And if you do that, don't forget to rate us if you've got a second. I'm Ian Willoughby. Thanks for listening to Prague Talk, and talk to you very soon.